under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, serving Anastasia Island at 91.9. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us as we face the issues each and every day. It is always our prayer and desire that you join the dialogue, the discussion, ask your questions, add your comments. There are some that have said they just want to get on there and put in their 2 cents worth. Well, this is your opportunity today. I'm asking the question today, the issue today, does the Constitution discuss hate speech? I'll pause for a moment to let you ponder that. What is hate speech? How do you determine hate speech? What is the barometer by which you determine hate speech? For example, I'm looking at a headline, Fort Lauderdale police searching for driver who defaced the Pride Flag street mural. In Fort Lauderdale, police are investigating after a Pride Flag street mural was defaced with tire marks. Ladies and gentlemen, I saw the picture of it. This has been some time ago, back a couple of months ago, I think it was. But there's at one of the intersections in Fort Lauderdale, the entire intersection painted with the rainbow colors, the Pride flag, as it's called. By the way, they stole that. It belongs to God. God gave it to us. It says the indication is assurance as he gives us a rainbow after a rain that he has never destroyed the earth again by way of a flood. So it's a deception when the sodomites have stolen it as their symbol. But nevertheless, in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, somebody pulled up in a pickup truck, spun his wheels across the flag, the colorful rainbow, if you will. And so now Fort Lauderdale police are searching for the driver who defaced the flag, Pride flag mural, it says here. According to the police report, a surveillance camera captured the driver of an F-250 pickup truck doing a burnout along the length of the mural before leaving the scene. This article reads, it's incredibly hurtful. It's something we work for as at Pride to bring people together, to let them know we expel the hate and try to stay positive and loving and see this, which is completely senseless. It's completely filled with hate. It's unnecessary, the president of the Pride Fort Lauderdale said. This article reads further. I just see people that have time on their hands that are destructing property and spewing hate. Ladies and gentlemen, is that a hate crime? Is that hate speech? Identify it for me. Find it in our Bill of Rights, in our Constitution. I'm reading the First Amendment. Congress shall make no, that's N-O, no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing today a torrent of laws, regulations, and rules across America with an attempt to eradicate so-called hate speech. And listen very carefully. Since we had the invasion of Israel by the Islamic jihadists on October the 7th, of 2023, and Israel defending itself, we have witnessed many across the nation, including the state of Florida. The governor signed the bill just recently, the state of Florida, with a hate crime bill. It's a knee-jerk response to the animosity toward the Jewish people, anti-Semitism. And I think we're wrong, whether it's city, state or national, to introduce and pass knee-jerk legislation. We have today the invasion of our privacy as private citizens in America, our Fourth Amendment being eviscerated through the Patriot Act as a result of George Bush introducing and pushing that through because of 9/11. We need to understand where we are in America, and we need to understand that our freedom of speech, religious liberties are being undermined. There's an attempt today, as never before, to eviscerate our liberties, especially in our First and Second Amendment, the First Amendment we're speaking of today. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we discuss that today, lest I forget it, let me remind you, after the monologue, our lines will be open. We invite you to place your telephone call, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We go back to this broadcast each day on the premise, on the basis of what we think to be, what we perceive to be, what we recognize to be our liberties as found in the Scripture. We talk about it, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God that endures forever, according to Psalms 117:2. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching today truth being bifurcated, eviscerated, changed, or modified in some fashion. It was George Orwell, the secularist, many years ago, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, Orwell said the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Ladies and gentlemen, truth matters. Truth matters, whether we recognize it or not. Truth matters. And there's one little meme that I look at. It says, the more you research truth, the crazier you may sound to ignorant people. But I think it's time that we, especially as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, get back to standing on truth. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as a partial truth or half truth. Half truth is a whole lie. Yet we have the younger generation today in America, the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, and 55% of the millennials say that there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, the millennials go on to say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an impossibility. This is the reason we find the useful idiots, as the Islamics call them, marching in the streets across America, blocking the entrances to colleges and universities. This is the reason to see the useful idiots waving the, quote, Palestinian flag. No such ethnic group, by the way, as Palestinians. But waving the flag and saying, death to America and death to Israel. From the river to the sea, the Palestinians need to be free. They're saying, eviscerate the Jewish people. Eviscerate Israel. Destroy the apple of God's eye. Ladies and gentlemen, we have in America today a mindset that those that are doing that, they're free. They can say what they want, wave the signs that they want to wave, and everything is okay because that's freedom of speech. But yet we have, in state after state after state, ordinances, legislative acts, laws being passed that restrict the Christian, conservative, patriots' freedom of speech. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we go back to what is truth. The 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus made this statement. Faithful Christians, seek the truth. Listen to the truth. Learn the truth. Love the truth. Tell the truth. Live the truth and defend the truth even to death. And I make mention of this restating Jan Hus's statement every day on this broadcast. And I think it's time we do that. I think it's time we stop depending on Communist Network News, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, any of the Christian bashing, CBS, by the way, is Christian bashing station. We need to stop tuning into that to try to figure out what is truth. Go back to the basics of what does the Word of God say. From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, we find God's Word is truth. And we need to go back to that, seeking the truth, listening to the truth, learning the truth, telling the truth, loving the truth, and living the truth, defending the truth, even to death. And that's my challenge to you each and every day, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time staff can answer your question about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. 11291 Old San Augustine Road is right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Top of that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good, good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, so you can worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained you to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, can you designate defacing property as a hate crime? The one that drove the truck, spun the tires out on the sodomite flag in Fort Lauderdale. Is that a hate crime? I think they were just modifying what was done in West Vancouver, British Columbia. Similar thing took place. Cop says tire marks on rainbow flag crosswalk gesture is hate. And they mocked mercilessly after identifying the driver that they believe left it. Police in West Vancouver, British Columbia, called a tire mark on a rainbow pride crosswalk a gesture of hate. For whatever reason, this person had chosen to leave a gesture of hate on the crosswalk that stands for exact opposite of what he believed. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever seen where someone might skid tires going through an intersection, or they might spin out tires going through an intersection that might have beautiful white paint on it? What's the difference in that? They do that, and there happens to be a rainbow flag painted on the pavement. Can you then determine that person's mindset? Is it a thought police mindset that we have in society today that we're introducing into our culture? Is that what we're doing today? May I say, ladies and gentlemen, with the one Fort Lauderdale said the verdict was misleading. While the man was originally arrested and charged with hate crime, he was charged with criminal mischief and reckless driving. He pleaded guilty to that charge. A protest against the LGBTQ legislation across the country, approximately, listen to this, today approximately 400 bills have been deemed as transphobic or homophobic, according to the research. Here's the further in the article. A Florida man was charged with hate crime for using his pickup truck to ruin a pride crosswalk. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question today, do we have anything in our Bill of Rights, anything in the Constitution, anything in any legislation in America that calls free speech hate speech in any fashion? Is there such a thing as hate speech? We're going to look at, ladies and gentlemen, further the broadcast today. The legislative process is taking place in Duval County with 2024-0334 legislation that's introduced that will expand the human reprobate ordinance that's already in place in Jacksonville, Florida, and the expansion of the human reprobate ordinance, it will go into just about every different ordinance in our city with some tentacle that's supposed to be talking about hate speech. And ladies and gentlemen, it will persecute, prosecute, and destroy free speech, religious liberties in the city of Jacksonville if it passes. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. A flag is a representation of an ideology. The American flag stands for the nation and the citizens who are residing here in the United States of America. They've appropriated this flag to stand for their core values. And last time I checked, I've not recalled anywhere where I've seen an American flag painted on the ground. And to be honest with you, I would be reluctant to walk upon that flag if it was painted on the ground, because it means something to me. To walk across it would mean to me a desecration of the flag that I honor for my country.
Jim, this flag in Fort Lauderdale we're talking about is the rainbow flag. It is the rainbow colors, I should call it.
Yes, sir, and that's the point I'm making. A flag stands for a representation of an entity. In this case, the entity is the LGBTQ, whatever they want to call themselves, their supposed, you know, collective organization. And I will also submit this. They put it on the grounds that in hope of somebody actually doing that. To be honest with you, the paint on a road, the white and the yellow paint, those are informational. Those are there to tell you if the lane is forward, left, right only, stop here. They're there for informational purposes to direct traffic there. So they're actually defacing the public roadways and could cause confusion. What happens if somebody saw that sign and thought it's something else inadvertently at nighttime and was distracted? Would they not be culpable for creating an accident by doing this? And the other thing too, with this gentleman that spun out, I submit to you that he was just exhibiting exhibition of acceleration, or just proving that he had the proper amount of torque coming from his engine to his rear axle. inadvertently pressed the accelerator too hard.
Jim, they charged him with hate crime, and hate crime simply says that somebody sitting in the seat of authority, a city council, alderman, or a governor, a mayor, etc., would be able to then determine your thoughts and your intents, and they make an adjudication based on that. Fortunately, the district attorney for that particular area, Fort Lauderdale area, I've forgotten what county it was in, finally dropped the charges of hate crime and said it was just defacing public property. And the man pleaded guilty for that, paid the fine. But they were trying to make it a hate crime. And that's the whole point. Jim, I'm looking at a headline. Governor DeSantis signs bill that targets hate crimes into law following the anti-Semitic incidents in Florida. This was about almost a month ago. Governor Ron DeSantis signed into law Thursday. The bill targets hate crime following a series of recent anti-Semitic incidents across the state. This law applies to all religions, ethnicities, but the bill sponsors decided it was necessary about several anti-Semitic reports. At a point that you start attacking individuals for their religion, you start intimidating a specific individual, you start harassing certain individuals, then that becomes problematic. In the bill, it is questionable in my mind. It is HB 269. The state legislature unanimously passed HB 269, sent an unequivocal message that bias-motivated actions targeting religions and ethnic minorities will not be tolerated in the Sunshine State. Let's back up and look. Actions targeting religions, ethnic minorities, will not be tolerated. Now, that's pretty broad, Jim. I made a little marginal note on this article. What about the Islamic jihadist? Can Christians call this out as dangerous, as sinful, as hateful? That's the history past. Winston Churchill said many years ago, that Islam, the Islamic religion, is the most retrograde religion on the face of the earth. What if that now, across the nation, what if on radio broadcast, television broadcast, Christians, churches, pastors, and conservatives will make that statement? Could you be charged under the state of Florida ethnicity bill or the hate crime bill, as it is called? What if you say something about the sodomites targeting religion and minorities will not be tolerated? What if we say, the point that I make, Jim, that has me kind of exercised with it is the fact that now here in the Duval County, we're trying to replicate. And again, the latest number was not was taken back in, I believe, February this year, that over 400 bills have been introduced and passed in America, 400, dealing with hate crime, as it is called today. Is there anything in the our Bill of Rights, anything in our Declaration of Independence, anything in our any of our constitutional liberties that identifies hate speech? How do you determine what is hate speech?
You cannot determine what is hate speech. You know, without truth, you can't make any determination. The only truth I know is our Lord Jesus Christ. Outside of that, for somebody to sit in judgment of me and to tell me that I'm committing a hate crime because I've told somebody in loving kindness that their lifestyle will lead to their demise and that I fear for their future and their you know, their eternity, you know, at that point, according to them, I've committed a crime. And it comes back to, they're allowing a segment of the population that is vocal, in this case, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, to push forward legislation that is inherently going to be used against the Christian community in the end. And it's just completely silly, in my opinion. It's just, it's adjudication without truth, in my opinion.
It is the law looking for a crime rather than crime, and then there being the law that will be fitting for that and prosecution taking place. Jim, it's not just the governor in the state of Florida on a knee-jerk response passed that law. In the House, they just adopted an anti-Semitism bill. Despite this article reads, despite the worries that it criminalizes biblical speech. It says the article, in the article it reads, in an abrupt effort to address the anti-Semitic violence that has engulfed many American universities and campuses in the past weeks, the new Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, after ignoring concerns that plainly actually could threaten free speech and make Christians who adhere to biblical accounts of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection subject to conviction. This goes on to say, the bill purports to curb hate speech while it passed and now is headed to the Senate, and a bipartisan coalition says it was ill-conceived and actually is very, very dangerous. For example, Marjorie Taylor Greene condemned it as being, says, I will not be voting for this Awareness Act because it could convict Christians of anti-Semitism if they believe the gospel says that Jesus was handed over to Herod by the Jews. Matt Gaetz says he's not voting for it. He says, this evening I will vote against the ridiculous hate speech bill called anti-Semitism because it has no regard to the Constitution and common sense. The gospel itself, this article reads, would meet the definition of anti-Semitism under the terms of this bill. The bill says the definition of anti-Semitism includes contemporary examples of anti-Semitism identified by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. One of those examples includes claims of Jews killing Jesus. The Bible is clear. There's no myth or controversy there. Therefore, I will not support the bill. And I could go on and on and on. So, Jim, the bottom line is, we're watching the knee-jerk response to the anti-Semitism that's taking place, and bills are being passed that then put Christians, conservatives, and patriots in the crosshairs of the aim to destroy our free speech and our religious liberties. Now, Jim, I postulate two questions in one before I let you go. We have, as a nation, we've refused to prosecute the riots, the demonstrations, the breaking of glass, tearing down, tearing into buildings, et cetera, by the hate group, and it is a hate group that's demanding death to America and death to Israel. Those airheads, those useful idiots that's doing that, useful idiots, the term by the Islamic jihadists, for those that are taking up their cause, they are, if there's any arrest at all, they arrest them, book them, release them, no bail, and no prosecutorial teeth in it whatsoever. They're doing that across America, and yet they're now wanting to introduce legislation that will not prosecute those that are doing the crimes, but will prosecute those Christians and conservatives and patriots in America. What say you to that? How should we as Christians respond to it? Right now, the bill that's going to be, that's already been introduced, they'll be discussing tonight in the city council meeting starting at 5 o'clock, where we have 6 out of the 19 city councilmen that's introduced the legislation, and it will literally prosecute Christians and conservatives. What should Christians and conservatives do? How should we respond? Should we stand up, speak up, be heard, or just say we're going to pray and ask God to intervene? What say you?
I definitely think that we should speak out in opposition there. One of the fundamental principles of the First Amendment is the allowing freedom of speech. You may not like that speech, but I'm going to allow you to speak that. Now, what we need to do is differentiate between an actual crime versus a statement. If I say something in the moment of anger, it does not mean that I'm going to do it. So, therefore, you're convicting or trying somebody on a statement, you know, that they haven't done yet. Now, does it mean that there isn't a consequence of for actions or consequences for speech? You can't go into a theater, you know, fire, such as. But individuals that are protesting on campus, they can protest all they want. I don't have to listen. I don't have to pay no attention. But the minute they commit a crime, like breaking windows, obstruction of building entryways, keeping people from either entering or leaving a building. At that point, they've committed a crime that's actually prosecutable. Standing outside, spouting their nonsense, you can only hope and pray that they will learn and their eyes will be opened by some future event. You know, it's a terrible thing that they've allowed themselves to be indoctrinated into believing the lies that are being spewed, especially on these campuses. But you know, if you start to legislate speech and thought, it's a slippery slope. Who's the judge? Who's the one that's going to say this is a crime, this is not a crime? I mean, that's going to be a really long list of do's and do nots.
Absolutely. Jim, one other thing is kind of a footnote to that. I've forgotten, I think it was in Texas or Nevada. I think it was Nevada, where a 75-year-old man, not an invalid, but he was confined to a wheelchair, but he was a Facebooker, and I believe it was on his Facebook or Instagram account, that he was condemning Joe Biden and said that somebody needs to do away with Joe Biden. He didn't say what or how, or maybe even in some fashion intimated that he disliked him enough that somebody needed to remove him from office. In whatever fashion, the next morning about 5:30 in the morning, it's still dark. The Secret Service, along with the FBI and federal agents, armed to the teeth, smashed his door in and took his life. The man came to the door with his weapon, as anybody would at 5:30 in the morning, with his weapon in his hand, because he didn't know what was happening. Time they smashed the door in, saw him with the weapon, they crucified him right then and there. A judge and jury and executioner, just because he had said something about Joe Biden. But yet you have those across the nation threatening Donald Trump, even on one occasion where somebody was depicted with a head holding in their hands where Trump had been beheaded, or even on the Five, not the Five, but the View, where somebody advocated recently that Trump needs to be executed, et cetera, et cetera. Nothing is done. But all of a sudden, it's a free speech thing that we can cancel the free speech and we can go after ones. We have a dual system, and that's what is frightening today, recognizing that system is against the religious liberties of the Christian, conservative, and the patriot, and the freedom of speech, calling it hate speech. Jim, thank you so much for your call. We look forward to what God is going to do as we continue to stand for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. Top of the hour news, right after the news. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online.